Begin the current Dav Mesechtas Becharis Dav Gimel. Begin 3 lines down the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Dav, and that is, we opened up this Mesechta, this Perek, or the Halacha, that if there's a partnership with a Jew and a non-Jew in an animal, or in the fetus of their firstborn animal, which that the firstborn that comes out is going to be exempt from the laws of Becharis, because it's not totally owned by a Jew. Now, one of the cases was regarding if a Jew sells from his animal to the non-Jew. And that the Mishnah says, Ava Pishen the Rishai, although he's not allowed to, which refers to a halacha mentioned elsewhere in Masechta Zabayt Zara, that a person is not allowed to sell a behema gasa, large livestock, to a non-Jew because of the work he might do with the animal on Shabbos, which is forbidden for the animal to do work on Shabbos. Now, on that we had quoted that if one does sell that animal to the non-Jew, then we penalize him. Says the Gemara, Misayeya, this halacha that we mentioned in the Braisa, that we're kainzin, that we penalize the Jew for selling from his animal to the non-Jew, supports L'Resh Lakish, because the Amar Resh Lakish, he said this halacha. Someone sells his animal to the non-Jew, to the idolater, from this large animal, which is this rabbinic law forbidding it. If he does it, then we penalize him, even up until 10 times the value of the animal that he sold, that he has to go ahead and buy it back from the non-Jew because of violating this rabbinic law. Now, says the Gemara, Davka, is it precisely that he says you have to really, really buy back for 10 times its value? Or lav Davka, or was it not precise that we don't really penalize him that much, or actually the other way around? Maybe we even penalize him even more than that. If the non-Jew doesn't want to sell it back, then you have to go up and up and up, 15 times, 20 times, even more. So was it precisely 10 times, or as in the two versions of Rashi, maybe really doesn't mean so much, or maybe it even means more than that? Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya, because the Amri B'Shu ben Levi, he says, HaMeicher Avdei Levi Kechavim, someone sells his slave to a non-Jew, Kainzin Naisei Admei B'damav, then we penalize him up until 100 times the value of that slave. Now, from the fact that by selling one slave, it says up till 100 times, and here by the animal it says 10 times, so obviously that there's precision there in the amounts that we're saying. Because if it wasn't precise, then by both of them, they should have said 100 or 10. If you're just using hyperbolic terminology, so just you should have said the same by both. Why is it differentiated? Obviously, because each one has its unique halacha, by the animal specifically 10 times, and by the slave specifically 100. Truthful Gemara says no. Truthfully, we could say by the animal, it's not precise. Because really, we don't penalize them that much up until 10 times the value. Rather, Shani Eved, the slave is different. Yeah, there we say a large amount, because every single day when he's by the non-Jew, he's not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvahs which Eved Kanani has an obligation, just like the laws of a woman, so too he has the fulfillment of those mitzvahs when he's the slave of a Jew. And since he sold him to a non-Jew, every day he's not being able to fulfill those commandments, therefore we penalize him up until 100 times, but it could be by the animal, it's not even going to be up until 10 times. Now, that was one version. Those who say that Amar Resh Lakish, in the same halacha, if someone sells a large animal, large livestock, to a non-Jew, this version says that he holds that you penalize not 10, but up until 100 times its value. Now, on that the Gemara asks, but Tanan, which is actually a brisa we learned, this was going on one of the cases that regarding if the Jew is going to be exempt from the laws of the Bechira. So he said, if you give the kablanis, which the non-Jew is working with the Jew's animal, and then they're splitting the profits, including the children. So the Braisa said, Ava Pishen Rishai, although this is not allowed to be done, which is that halacha that we're talking about, because he's going to be getting from the large livestock of animals from a Jew, and there's going to be that Chil Shabbos element. But ultimately, it is a halachic transaction, and therefore it is the non-Jews, and therefore it's exempting from Bechira. But we penalize the Jew up until 10 times its value, which the Gemara says bedamav. We're talking about the fetus. We penalize him up until 10 times that value, because that's what he sold to the non-Jew with kablanis, which is essentially sharing in the profits, which are the children. So one thing you see, it's not like Resh Lakish said 100 times, the Braisa says only up until 10 times. He says, well, it's not difficult, because Resh Lakish was talking about mechira, selling. Yeah, that we penalize up until 100 times the amount, because paskimine, that's totally lost from the person. He totally sold it to the non-Jew. Kablanis, where you're not really selling something, it's the product that comes out, that's what it's going to be given to the non-Jew. That's like paskimine. That's not totally removing the product that's being sold. It's just that the derivatives, those dividends, are being shared by the Jew and the non-Jew. Therefore, there it's going to be only up until 10 times the value. Now, the Gemara asks, as in the first version, on Resh Lakish, Davka or Lav Davka? So, okay, fine. We understand why it's not a contradiction from the Braisa, but did he really mean literally 100 times the value, or was that not so precise? Says Gemara, Tashma, let's bring a rai, because Damar Rishu ben Levi. He says, Hamoicher avdu levi kechavim. And this version, it's the inverse of the first one. Someone sells a slave to a non-Jew. Says Rabbi Shuban Levi, we penalize him up until 10 times his value. Now, obviously, when we say 100 times the value by the animal when you sold it to a non-Jew is not precise, because here you have by a slave where every single day you're precluding from being able to fulfill the mitzvahs, and we only penalize him until 10 times the value. A behemoth wouldn't make sense then to say it's 100 times. Must be a guzma, an exaggeration, but it doesn't really mean 100 times. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a proof. Shani Eved, a slave is different. The reason why there you don't penalize him so much and only up until 10 times the value is because when he gets redeemed from the ownership of the non-Jew, it doesn't go back to the owner. As the Gemara says, if someone sells a slave to a non-Jew, even if we penalize him to free him, he goes out to be a free man. So he doesn't get it back. Oh, okay, we're not going to penalize the owner so much. We'll only penalize him up until 10 times the value to redeem him. Now, that has to come out. Well, then behemoth my time. So then what are you saying? So you're saying that, no, could be animal was precisely 100 times that amount. And why are you penalizing him so much more than by the slave? Because by the animal, when you do have to go and redeem it, you get back ownership. And says the Gemara, so niknasei tvei chad. So okay, so penalize the owner the value of one more, meaning the value of the animal itself, you should penalize him that much more than 10 times the value. Because what's the reason why you're saying that he gets more by the animal than the slave is only the value of the animal that he's getting back. So that should only be the more than the 10 times, which is the laws of the penalty. It should say 11 times that amount, but not 100 times. So Ella rather says the Gemara, a different interpretation. Eved milsud l'shchichihi. A slave is not common to sell to a non-Jew. Anything that's not so common, the rabbis didn't penalize so much. So therefore, they only penalized up until 10 times the amount. But it could be that actually Rish Lakish's halacha was actually precise, and by an animal, which is more common, they actually did penalize maybe up until 100 times the amount, and therefore, it's not a proof if it was dafka or lav dafka. Now, going back to the braisa for the previous daf, which was the Gemara then segued in to say that, well, that supports Rish Lakish, we had quoted a braisa that was a elaboration on the halacha of our Mishnah, which we had a machlekes. The sages say, we had alluded to that machlekes in the Mishnah, that the sages say that as long as there's a hand of a non-Jew in the animal, whether through the mother or through the child, any partnership the non-Jew has precludes the animal from the laws of Bechayr, which is as how our Mishnah said it, but we quote in the Brice review that said that no, if it's a 50-50 partnership, the Jew has to give his 50% to the Kayan in its monetary value, and it's only the half of the non-Jew that's exempt. Now, Rabbi Yeshua, he says, V'shnei mikra echad darshu. Both these opinions are actually coming from the same source, from the same verse, where they expound their understanding. Because the Pasuk in Shemai says, Kol b'char, every firstborn, and the word there says, B'Yisrael, amongst the Jewish people, that's where we know the laws of b'char apply to a Jew. No, so he explains as follows. He says, Rabbanan Zavri, the Rabbanan held that had the Pasuk only said, Bechar b'Yisrael, so the word Bechar, Miktsas Bechar mashma. That would be connoting that even if it's only a partial Bechar of a Yisrael, it would be already obligated in the laws of Bechar, because it's a Bechar Yisrael, albeit partially. Kas Rachman Kol, now that's why the Torah wrote the word Kol Bechar b'Yisrael. Why Kol? Because without the word kol, I would have understood even partially. So what's kol coming to say? That no, it has to be totally owned by a Jew, and therefore, if the non-Jew has a partnership, it's exempt. Whereas Rabbi Hudasabi held that no. When the Torah would just say b'char, kule b'char mashma, a firstborn is totally a firstborn. Kaz rachman kol, so now when the Torah is writing the word kol, well, what's that saying? I already know from the word b'char it's kol. Oh, da'afil kol duhu. Kol means, even if it's only something, kol can mean everything or something. And therefore, when it says kol b'char, means even whatever is from a firstborn, even partially. So therefore he holds, when it's 50-50 partnership, actually the Jew has to give his value to the kain. Or you might say more if you want, you can say a different interpretation. The kuliyama, everyone holds when, if we just have the word b'char, so ruba mashma, that would be understood as the majority. Because generally we say that something is qualified by its majority. Not everything is generally 100% that. So the b'char, we would say, okay, that means the majority. Now that it says kol, marasav the rabbanah held, well, kol mashma lemaluyi asa. The word kol is coming to fill it up and to say until it's totally from a Jew, not only Roiv. Marsa v'legruyasa, but you hear the hell that no, it's coming to diminish. Because like we said, the word kol can mean anything. Like we have a pasuk in Malachim Beis, l'shefchasech ein kol b'bayis, that your maidservant has nothing in the house. Ein kol, doesn't have kol. That doesn't mean she doesn't have everything, it means doesn't have anything. And therefore, that's the machlekes, how to interpret the kol, is kol saying everything or something, and that would explain their machlekes regarding, do you need it to be totally owned by a Jew, or even if partially owned by a Jew, to be chayv b'chayim. Now, the Gemara asks, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that any partnership, that not any, the partnership of a non-Jew precludes it from a chiv b'chayra, so that is the Gemara, v'kamatei shutva shal evi kuchavim, how much is it going to be a partnership of a non-Jew, v'tei p'trum in the b'chayra, and that already would exempt it from the laws of b'chayra. So I'm Rav Huna, he says, afila, even if there's not a partnership for the non-Jew, but aznai, he only has like an ownership in the heir of the animal, already precludes from having the laws of a firstborn that won't have that sanctity of b'chayra. Now, Maskev Rav Nachman, he asks, but why? Okay, so he owns the ear. Let the Kohen tell the non-Jew who has that partnership, because with that Yisrael, Shakal Aznach Vizil, take your ear and leave. What does it have to do with the animal? Why would that preclude it from having the halacha of Kedusha's Bechar? It's still a Bechar. So even if it wouldn't have, even if it would take off the ear, so that would have a blemish, but that would still be a Bechar Balmum that would go to the Kohen. So why would that make it that it doesn't go to the Kohen? Rather, Itmar, we learned that Rav Chizdamer, he says that the partnership of the non-Jew has to be in davar sha'isa is nevela, something that would make the animal into a nevela, which is, for example, if let's say the non-Jew has a partnership in where the esophagus is or the trachea, where there, that's where the life of the animal is contingent on, and therefore it's like as if it's owned totally by the non-Jew, because it's in the area where if you would rip that out, it would make it into nevela, like a dead animal carcass. That's something that we have to say, that's his shutfis, that would make it owned by a non-Jew, and therefore not chayv mecher. V'ravam, he says, davar sha'isa isa trefa. If he has a partnership in the animal in something that would make the animal into a mortal defect, for example, if he owns from the knee and up, above the knee, if there's an injury over there that makes the, that breaks off the leg, makes the animal into a trefa, that would already make it something that's not just a blemish. That means that he owns the thing, and therefore that would preclude it from being a given to a matan as a bechard to the kain. Says the Gemara b'maikemifugi. So what is Rav Chiz and Rava disagreeing about? Why does he say trefa? He says nevela. So the Gemara says the machlekes is a betrefa chaya. Could an animal with a mortal defect live? According to Rabbah, that says that it's sufficient even if it's something that makes the animal just into a trefa, not in a vela where it's like dead, but it has a mortal defect, is kesavah trefa in the chayetz, because he holds a trefa cannot survive. So it's as if it's totally owned by a non-Jew, because the whole animal's life depends on this. So it's like totally owned by a non-Jew. And therefore that's enough to exempt it from being as a bechar to the kain. Or l'man nama davar sha'isa isa nevela, according to Rav Chizdu, who says it has to be something that makes it into a nevela, of a trefa chai is because he holds that a trefa could survive, and therefore it's not considered owned by the non-Jews, only something that would make it into a nevela, that's something as if it's totally owned by the non-Jew, and therefore precluding it from the laws of Bechayr. Now, regarding the previous Gemara's discussion, Amur Rabban the Kamed Rav Papa, the rabbis said in front of Rav Papa, that Had Rav Huna, this that we have the opinion of Rav Huna, who says it's even sufficient if he just owns anything, even like in the ear, that already would say that it's has the partnership of the non-Jew precluding it from the laws of Bechayra, because it has to be Yisrael. Whereas we have Rav Chizdeh Rava that they said, no, it has to be something significant like Trefa or Nevela. So they said that Leipligi, that Rav Chizdeh and Rava are not disagreeing with Rav Huna. Now, Rav Chizdeh and Rava obviously are disagreeing, but they're not disagreeing with Rav Huna. And the reason for that is because Ha, the Halacha Rav Huna was talking about if the non-Jew has a portion in the firstborn animal itself, even in the ear of the animal, that would not make it sanctified. Habi'imoy, whereas Rav Chizdeh and Rava were talking about the mother animal. There it has to be, if he has a portion of the animal, that would make it into a nevela or a trefa. Now, on that, Rav Papa said to them, but what would be the difference between the fetus itself, the firstborn animal itself, that there you say, oh, even just the partnership in the ear would already preclude it, because the be'ina kol b'char, you need to have the whole firstborn. Like we said, kol b'char b'Yisrael. Valek, and you don't have that when there's a partnership of even something, even the ear to the non-Jew. So then, imenami be'inan. But then the mother, you also need Kol miknecha tizachar. The pasuk says, if all of the flock is yours, then tizachar. Meaning, if it's all yours, then the male will be sanctified, like the Targum translates, dichren tikdish. Then the firstborn will be sanctified. And Valekha, you don't have that, even if the non-Jew only has a portion, even in the ear of the mother. Elalashna, rather, says Rav Papa, there's no difference. Either way, they would obviously be disagreeing on Rav Huna, because there shouldn't be a difference between the mother or the child, because they both say the word kol. Now, Maskevala Marbaravashi. Marbaravashi asks on all the interpretations. He says, Maishnam in the Falun. Why is this halacha that we're saying that, okay, he has a partnership in the animal, we're saying that it's something significant to say that, let's say, would make it into an avail or make it into treif. It's something that the non-Jew has a partnership, and therefore we consider it as his and not enough of it, like as if by the Jews that it could survive on its own. Why is it different than a non-viable fetus? Where we find that even though it cannot survive, it is sanctified with Kedushas Bechar. Like the Master says, the Pasuk says in Shemais, Peter, that which is the opening, the release, Sheger Behemah, which is released by the animal, that's where the law is, that first one that comes out of the womb is obligated in Kedushas Bechar. Now, the word Sheger could be read Shegar Behemah, which it dwelled in the womb of the animal. What does that mean, is dwelling in the womb of the animal? Where it's not time for it yet to come out because it was a miscarriage. It was a non-viable fetus. Or another interpretation is that it actually means sheger behema, where the animal miscarries. It throws it out, spits it out. But one thing we see is that the Bryce is saying that even though it's not viable, it's still sanctified with Kedushas Bechar. And it has to be buried, but it has Kedushas Bechar. So too over here. Even if you're saying that the non-Jew would have a portion in the animal that would make it into a nevela, still the portion that's the Jew's should be sanctified, even though it's not viable, because we see the non-viability doesn't take it away from Kedushas Bechar. Says Gemara, no, Hasim over there, by the halacha you just quoted, Kivin Dolei Riva Buhuchulim, by the non-viable fetus, yes, it's not viable and that's not a problem. But since there's no other non-consecrated elements mixed in, it's totally owned by a Jew. So Karina Behu Bebehema Kol Bechar. So we could call regarding that animal that it's totally a firstborn animal. But Hacha Kivin Da Arivu Bechulim. But here, since there's mixed in a non-consecrated element, part of it is owned by a non-Jew. So Le Karina Behu Kol Bechar. You're right. It's not necessarily because of the non-viability. That's just to say that it has a significant portion to make it not anymore totally owned the firstborn of a Jewish person, and that's why it precludes it from the laws of Bechar. The Gemara brings a story related to these halachas that Rabbi Elazar le'olabei midrasha. He didn't go into the yeshiva, to the Beis HaMedrash, to the study hall. And Ashkechel Rabasi encountered Rabasi. And Amalei said to him, "My Amar Rabbanu bei midrasha, what did the rabbi say in the Beis HaMedrash?" So Amalei said to him, as he continued to base, he says, "Hacham Rabbi Yochanan." This is Rabbi Yochanan that said two halachas. First of all, he said, "Afila mumkal." He says, even if the non-Jew doesn't have a partnership in the animal, only in the ear of the animal, that if that would be taken away, it wouldn't make it into not an avela, not a treifa, rather it would make it just a small blemish. Still, that's enough to exempt it from the laws of Bechaira. Additionally, he said to him, V'hadetnan. This has been learned in the Mishnah later on, the Tazayin Mabez, that says, Rachel Sheyolda Min Eiz, if a sheep gives birth to a creature that looks like a goat, or V'eiz Sheyolda Min Rachel, or a goat gives birth to a creature that looks like a sheep, which is not the same as its parent, Peturim in the Bechaira, that would exempt it from the laws of the firstborn. Now, but if the child has some of the features of the mother, then chayiv, then it would be obligated. On that, Rabbi Yechanan qualified in the Beis HaMedrash, and he says that this, that the Mishnah is saying that you're going to be chayiv in such a situation, that's only that then you're obligated to give it to the kohen. But there's another level, that to go ahead and bring it as a carbon on Mizbeach, when it's unblemished, no, here, since it changed, it doesn't look exactly like the parent, Mum kavua havalishchet olav. That would be considered a permanent blemish to go ahead and slaughter this animal even out of the azar, even out of the Beis HaMikdash, although it's a bechayr, and therefore that's what it's saying, you're chayv to give it to the kayin, but it's like bechayr bal mum, like a firstborn animal, it's a blemish, because here it's obviously blemish, it doesn't look like its parent, it looks warped, looks distorted, where the kayin could slaughter and eat it by himself, so that's what's chayv, to give it to the kayin, but not to bring it as a carbon on the mizbeach. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlim Mum Kal. So we understand his first halacha he said in the Beis HaMedrash, regarding that even as something that the non-Jew owns in the firstborn animal, that would, if you took it over, it would only make a small blemish, it's enough to exempt it from Bechaira, Kamashwalan Kad Rav Huna. Rechon is then teaching us, like Rav Huna said, that even if he has just a portion in the ear, would be enough to exempt it from Bechaira, Ulafukim and Rav Chizr Rava, which would preclude from the opinions of Rav Chizr Rava, that said, no, it has to be more than that, it has to be, so I'm going to make it into Nevelo Trefa. Fine. And that's where it relates back to our previous Gemara's discussion. But elamum kavua, but this regarding that he's talking regarding this permanent blemish of when you have this distorted child. What's he teaching us? Essentially, he's teaching us to kiven dishtani havali muma. Since the child looks different than the parent, although it has some similarity, so it's chayiv, but it's a bechayir, but it's a bechayir that's blemished. So you could slaughter it out of the azara. Tanina, we already learned this in the mission later on in Perik al elu muma sheichnes bechayir, which talks about what are the blemishes that say that's not going to be brought as a carbon the mizbeach and mem and aleph. That says upiv demikish lechazer. Let's say its mouth, its lips are similar to that of a chazer of swine. We're talking about that part of the animal, even just the lips, looks like some other creature. So it says, Hariza Mum, that's a blemish. So here we were talking about that a total looks like some other goat or some sheep, and it has some similarities like its parent. So obviously we know, although it's chayav, but that it's considered a blemish, that it's not going to be brought as a carbon. So what is Rabbi Yechonah teaching us? Now, if you're going to say that, no, Hasam over there in that Mishnah, Nishtana B'davish Im B'mina Kaddish B'Bachayra, it's talking about a case where the animal was changed and distorted to look like a creature, like a chazer, that type of creature is not obligated in the laws of Bechayr. So, okay, maybe over there you would say that would preclude it from being brought as a carbon. But here it's being changed into a species that species is also sanctified in the conditions of Bechayr, where a sheep into a goat or goat into a sheep, but either one is brought as a Bechayr, and maybe that's why we needed Rabbi Yechon to say that still that's going to be considered a mum, but hanami d'tanina, but that's also learned over there in that Mishnah. Because the Mishnah talks about other blemishes, and it says, "Einai aches gedayla." Let's say one of the eyes of the animal is larger, or "v'aches ketana," one of the eyes are smaller. Now, b'tana, we learn, what does it mean, larger and smaller? Gedayla, gedayla kishal egel. When we say larger, it's larger like that of a calf. Or v'ketana, ketana kishal avaz. When we said one eye is smaller, it means smaller like the eye of a goose. Now, b'shlem ketana kishal avaz, we could understand fine that we're not going to be asking from the case of when it's smaller like that of a goose, because, okay, that's also ein b'mina kaddish b'bechayra. A goose is not something that's sanctified with the laws of the firstborn. So again, that wouldn't be telling us Rabbi Yechonah's halacha yet. But elegedayla kishal egel, but the case of when one of the eyes is larger like that of a calf, that means to say this creature, let's say a sheep, is being changed into that its eye is like that of an egel. Yes, b'mina kaddish b'bechayra. A calf is a species that it itself has a halacha of the firstborn. And even so, the Mishnah is telling us that that's considered a blemish. So then why do we need Rabbi Yechonah to tell us this halacha? Elalav, mishum darminan kibin ishtani avali muma. We already learned in that Mishnah that's saying that if it changes, even to something that's mina b'bechayra, it's considered a blemish. So what do we need Rabbi Yechonah's teaching for if it's already included in that Mishnah? Says Gimaloi. No, it's not the reasoning for that Mishnah on Daf Mem because of blemish. You need Rabbi Yechonah to teach you that halacha. Because mishum dehavali serua, that Mishnah is teaching us a halacha known as serua. The Torah tells us that serua is considered a blemish by a bechayr, by firstborn animal. What's serua? That's where one of the limbs is bigger than one of the other limbs. Where here, one eye is bigger than one of the other eyes. But some other shinu, some other deviation, some other distortion, like for example, if let's say its wool looks like that of a goat, that we don't know from the Torah, from that Mishnah, that that's considered a blemish. And therefore, we needed Rabbi Yechonah to tell us this, that that's going to be considered a blemish. Because that Mishnah is talking about one eye, even the one that's bigger in Yesh B'mina B'chayra, that's because the law of Serua, one eye is bigger. That we know that that's considered, that it's a mum. But some other deviation, that we don't necessarily, that the din of Shinoi is considered a mum itself. And so, Gemara Hachana Mistaba, the way we're answering is actually more logical to say. Because the Nan, we learn the Mishnah later on of Mem Gimel Med Aleph that says, Mum and Elu, these blemishes that the sages had qualified regarding the laws of Bechor of Behema, that Bein Kavuin, Bein Ivrin, Paislam. When it comes to a person, meaning regarding the laws of a Kain, who by him blemishes also disqualify him from doing the service, whether if it's a permanent blemish or even if it's a temporary blemish, where temporary blemish does not invalidate by Bechor of a Behema, but by a Kain, whenever he has that blemish, even if it's just temporary, he cannot do the service. So by him, it's even going to be if it's a mum aver. Now, says the Mishnah further, yeser alein adam, and additionally, what a person's blemishes are more severe than that of an animal, is if einav shtein gedayla. So let's say both eyes of the kohen are large, or shtein ketana, so both of them are small, that's going to be considered a blemish. Now, the understanding of this is because gabi adam hudichse, by a person, meaning regarding the kahanim, the pasuk says in the yikra, ish ish mizer aaron, every man from the seed, from the children of Aaron, where the be'inan ish, shava bezar shel Aaron, that we need, that a man should be similar to the sons of Aaron, meaning they should be just like regular people. not having eyes too big or eyes too small. Not on the hema, but the conscience is regarding the laws of the firstborn of an animal. That if they're both large or they're both small, that would not be considered a blemish. Now, then the question is, so what's the reason if one eye is large or one eye is small, that is going to be considered a blemish? If you're saying the reason is because of, like we thought it's already referring to Abiyuch in this halacha, because it's just different, it's distorted, then also if both are large or both are small, should also be it's different than what usually is. Elalav, rather, isn't it as we're proving Mishum Navali Sarua? No. A shinui maybe from the Mishnah we wouldn't know. That maybe would not be a problem. And therefore, two eyes large, two eyes small is not a problem. One bigger than the other is simply the halach of Saru, when you have one limb bigger than the other. And that's why it's invalid. And therefore, it's not referring to Bi'echin's halach at all. Rashi Gemara says, no, you can't prove that from that Mishnah. Because la'ilam eimalach mishum shinui, in the text takes out the next word shinui, havamuma. That really, that the blemish is because of that there's something different. And here wouldn't be logical to say, as you're trying to prove, that it's because of Sarua, because of one's different than the other. Now, Odukukashlach, but then you're going to ask, wait a second. If you're telling me that the reason of the blemish is because of Shinui, that's why it's an invalidation with one eye bigger, one eye smaller, and therefore, seemingly, we don't need Rabbi Yechonon's teaching, then then you're going to ask, wait a second, so then, if just being distorted, so then both eyes big or both eyes small is also distortion. And that says, well, no, that's not difficult. Because Hasam, over there, when one eye is bigger, one eye is smaller, imach misbriyusa yisera, if it's because the animal is very healthy, very robust, so then tavaya boy lemivra, then both eyes should have gotten bigger. Imach miskichishusa yisera, and if it's very weak, then tavaya boy mikrish, then both of them should have gotten smaller. Rather, the reason is because most definitely that it's because of the laws of Mishuna. And therefore, by the one eye, that's why it's going to be invalidation. By both eyes being big, both eyes being small, okay, you could say it's very robust or very weak. So that's not considered a shinui. But by one eye big, one eye small, it's not because of a seru. To the contrary, it's because of there it's going to be considered a shinui, and there it's going to be pasul. Now, then the question, okay, then that's difficult. So why do we need the teaching of Rabbi Yechonon if we're explaining that we already know from that Mishnah that it's not seru, and it's actually because of it's a shinui, and therefore it's a blemish? So Rashi explains that since you ultimately could say the reason is not because of Shinui, and you could say it's because of Sarua, we're just saying it's not necessarily because of Sarua, but you could say, so Rabbi Yechonon had to come along and say, and actually clarify that Mishnah Salacha is actually because of the laws of Shinui, and that's what he's referring to when he's saying that the laws of Shinui would be an invalidation, not just Sarua like it says in the Torah, but even any change, which is like if, let's say, the creature looks a little bit like some other creature, even in regards to its wool, not just if one eye is bigger than the other. Yes, the two eyes big or two eyes small is not a problem because that's not Sarua, because they're both the same, and it's also not considered Mishuna, because it's very healthy or very weak. But by a kind, that would be a problem. But regarding Shinui, a different change, yeah, that maybe we'd not have known, but yeah, now that we know from Rabbi Yechonon, now we know that actually the Mishnayos are also telling us the same halacha, that Shinui is a mum. Now the Gemara brings a story related to the halachas that we're discussing. Hahi giyarta. There was this female convert to have a master in Le'achi that her brothers, who were still non-Jewish, would give her chevas lebtuma. They gave her the job of fattening up the animals that they had. Now asor lekama, the rabbi, she came in from the rabbi to ask, well, now that she's sharing the profits with them and there's a firstborn animal being born, is she obligated in giving that bechir to the kain? So Amalas, the Rabbi said to Les the Chash Lahad the Rabbi Huda. No one's concerned for the opinion of Rabbi Huda that we had taught in the Brice in the previous daf. He says a partnership with a non-Jew, the Jew's partnership has to be given to the Kain in its monetary value as Bechar. On that he says no one considers that opinion. Rather, like the Halacha of our Mishnah, we said any partnership, like the Chacham said that Yad Abikachav and Ba, where here she's sharing it with her brothers who are non-Jews, that she's not going to be obligated to give her partnership to the Kain as Bechar. Another story on these halachas is Rav Mori Bar Rachel, Havi Lahi Chivasa. He had these animals. Have a mikna l'udnayu l'oivit kachavim. He would sell to the non-Jew just ownership of the ear of his animals to preclude it from the laws of Bechira. Like we said, that's the halacha of Rabbi Yechonon, that if the non-Jew has even a partnership just in the ear of the animal, it already precludes it from the laws of Bechira. However, still, even though now it's not going to have Kedushas Bechar, v'asa lehu, But the firstborn animals, he made it forbidden, begizav avayda, for anyone to share the wool or to work with it, and he treated it like a bona fide bechor. V'yavlu l'kanim, he actually even gave it to the kanim. And v'kalai chevasa d'Rav Mori bar Rachel. The animals of Rav Mori bar Rachel, they all died, his whole flock. Now, so the Gemara asks, v'chima achad aslu begizav avayda, so if he treated it like a regular bechor, he made it forbidden to shear the wool and to do work with it. They gave it to the Ganim. So then why did he acquire to the non-Jew the ownership in the ear, precluding the laws of a Bukhar, if he wasn't even gaining anything? He gave it to the Kain and did everything like a regular Bukhar anyway. Says Gemara, he was concerned that it might cause to a stumbling block that he might forget and he might shear the wool and might work with it. So to preclude that, violating that prohibition, he made it not have Kedusha Bukhar, but he didn't want to gain from that, and he anyways gave it to the Kohen, he treated it like a Bukhar anyway. So the Gemara asks, but Ihachi, but if that's the case, that his intent was for the good, he just didn't want anyone to violate Torah law, so my time Kolechi Vasar of Mari, so then why was it that his whole flock died out? Says the Gemara, Mishum Demifkelum Kedusha Sai, because ultimately he precluded it, he removed it from its sanctity, where now the animal didn't have Kedusha Bukhar. And that is the Gemara, what's the problem with that? Bamar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Mutu la'adam lahatl mum bebechar. A person is permitted to put a blemish into the firstborn animal, kodem she'yitz la'avar oilam, before it comes out to the airspace of the world, before when he goes in utero and he makes a blemish in that firstborn animal, so it's never sanctified, because the bechar gets sanctified only when it passes through the womb. Where, like the pasuk says, "Kol b'chor asher yivalid," the firstborn is when it's born. So that's not considered like a violation of being matl mum b'kachim, putting a blemish in the sanctified animal, because it's not sanctified until it comes out. So this is a person's allowed to do that. So what's the problem that it didn't get kedusha? You see from this teaching of Yehuda that one is allowed to go out and make it that it never gets the sanctity of b'chor. Says Gemara, "No hasim kedushas mezbech komaskali." In the teaching of Yehuda, when he makes a blemish in that firstborn animal, What he's doing is, it's going to still be a bechor, it's still going to be a petarechim, it's going to be the first animal that comes out. It's just, since it's blemished, so it's going to be precluding it from the sanctity of being sacrificed on the mizbeach. But Mekdush is koin lamafkaleh, but he's not precluding it from the sanctity of from the koin, because it's like a bechor ba'amum, which is given to the koin, and actually the koin has to treat it with a certain level of sanctity, which, like we said, you're not allowed to shear the wool, you're not allowed to work with it. When he slaughters it, he's not slaughtered in the marketplace, he's not allowed to settle in the marketplace, he's not allowed to weigh it with weights, as the Gemara says later on the Flamin Alf and Alf. Whereas Hach will be here when he acquires to the non-Jew even just that partnership in the ear, so it's never going to have any designation of sanctity at all. And even in this case, even if he treated it with sanctity, but it's like treating a regular chulin with the sanctity of bechor, Rafael Magdusha's kain kamafkale. It's not a bechor anymore, because bechor is only be Yisrael. So it's not even having kedushas of bechor ba'amum, and since he's totally precluding it from the designation of bechor, of having any kedusha whatsoever, because of that, he was punished and all his animals died. Or if you want, you could say a different reasoning, is because Rav Mori bar Rachel, he knew how to make a final, total sale, which is, he knew to take money from the non-Jew, because a non-Jew only acquires with a transfer of money, as the Gemara says later on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So yeah, he did actually an okay thing, because the non-Jew has a real partnership in this animal, so yeah, it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. The problem is, v'chazali inish achrina. Other people will see him doing it, v'azal v'avad, and they'll go ahead and do the same as him. But Besava, Rav Mori, they're going to think that Rav Mori Milsa, that something in general with words, he just, who the other, that's what he did it with the non-Jew. Oh, you be my partner with the ears. But they're going to think he didn't really take money. Vasi Bahu Ladeta Kala. That's going to cause a stumbling block. And therefore he was punished and all his animals died. Because people are going to think, oh, he made a partner. Okay, Charlie, you be my partner with the ear of the animal. And say, oh, I have a non-Jewish partner. Okay, I don't have to. No more Kedusha's Bechor. Truth is, it's still going to be a Bechor. Because the non-Jew doesn't have any partnership until there's an actual transfer of monies. And because of that, since people are going to come to be misled from that, therefore he was punished and all his animals died. But really what he did was a good transfer, and it really was a partnership with a non-Jew. And according to that, Ibai Sema, that wouldn't have been enough of a reason for him to be punished for his animals to be died.